This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harrell.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Jim Harrell and so glad to be with you once again. And from time to time, having done this show for 9 years, I look up and I say, well, why haven't I gotten in contact with this person and asked them to be on the show and kind of knock myself in the head and say, we've got to fix that. And such is the case today. Our guest is Alejandro Rojas. Now, if any of you have followed ufology for any amount of time, you've heard that name. He's extremely active and one of the foremost experts in UFO studies. He is a radio host for Open Minds Radio, editor and contributing writer for Open Minds Magazine, as well as openminds.tv. For several years, Alejandro was the official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network as director of public education. As a UFO paranormal researcher and journalist, Alejandro has spent many hours in the field investigating phenomena up close and personal. He's been interviewed by media organizations around the world, including the largest cable and network news agencies, with several appearances on Coast to Coast AM. And we're glad to welcome him to the Paranormal Podcast. Alejandro, welcome to the program today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on. It's funny because over the years, I've always thought, you know, this is a great show, and I hope Jim contacts me sometime or I get to meet him. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I don't know what I was thinking, but we've rectified it now, so that's the important thing. So I'm always interested in people's origin story because a lot of people who are interested in this, they've been interested in it since they're little kids. So I always like to see what the inspiration was to make this, in many ways, your life's work, because it is a unique field to be in. What is your origin story? How did you get started on the subject of UFOs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the origin stories too. It's interesting how everybody gets to where they are differently. Of course, there are a lot of people who have had sightings, and that's what brought them into it. But that wasn't me. I was kind of I've always been into sci-fi and science and had an open mind. You know, when I was a kid, I used to hear, being from the Southwest, I'd hear stories, sure, the Mexican mythologies and legends and Native American stories. And I always kept an open mind because, even though, especially back in the 80s, 90s, in the scientific arena, they were a little even more closed, I think. But it was before kind of the New Age stuff really took off. And it was always assumed, oh, those were just silly stories of the natives. And I never felt like that. I felt, well, I think that, you know, their anecdotal information is just as valid as anybody else's. Sure. So I've been open to it out of respect for my ancestry as well. And I really got into math and science in high school. When I first went into college, it was to be a rocket scientist, actually, as an engineer. But it was around that time, I guess, that I really started to get more into UFOs and the possibility of extraterrestrial life, the conservative mainstream search for it, but also, and SETI, which was actually seen as pretty kooky back then, even though they're very mainstream now, but also UFOs and everything. So I watched all the documentaries. During that time, I really was a news hound before I switched into journalism. And it was really, even though I was really into this stuff, I was watching every documentary, everything that would come out on television. It was the 2001 Disclosure Project. I always asked, you know, in journalism, even professors, why isn't this a bigger story? And they always said, well, there's just not anything, you know, that compelling. If there was, you know, we would cover it because we want that huge story. But when the Disclosure Project came out in 2001, and Dr. Greer brought all of these incredible witnesses to the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., the media response, I felt, was extremely lackluster. I thought, wow, this is a big deal. But it wasn't covered. And I think that's where I caught the bug. It was like, first of all, there's more to this than I realized, even though I'm watching everything we're shown on television. Sure. And also that it is something that is completely a niche that is I think, being overlooked, that shouldn't. There's a lot of information here that needs to get out to the general public that people need to know. So I became a hermit for a couple of years, really just kind of boarded myself up and read tons of books. And finally I decided, you know, I've read so much, now it's starting to get repetitive. It's time that I go start to talk to some of these witnesses and people and see what they have to say and see, you know, what's the deal. So I joined MUFON. Luckily, it turned out that their headquarters was nearby, the national headquarters. So I joined MUFON, became a field investigator, helped out with the local organization, got to know the national guys, then started helping out with national. And that's how I got so involved with MUFON. And I've always really had an affinity for MUFON and what they do as a nonprofit organization with investigators all over the country. So I've always stayed close to MUFON. Now I have another official position with them. I'm their official Twitterer. So I'm handling the Twitter, the tweets for them. But that's my origin story, essentially.
Now, over the, and I'd be interested how you answer this question. You know, when I first started becoming really interested, well, I've been interested my whole life. But when I really started to get interested in all of this in a kind of work capacity, when I started this podcast 9 years ago, I was very much of the viewpoint that UFOs, if they didn't fall under the category of things that were explicable, I assumed that they were little green men coming down in physical craft, kind of the Stanton Friedman model. But over the years, I've opened my mind to other possibilities that there may be more to the UFO phenomena. What are your thoughts on that? Have your viewpoints changed over the years? Do you think that there's more than just maybe the ET explanation? Could we be getting into something that's biological, something that's spiritual, something that's from another dimension? Has your tent broadened over the years, or has it narrowed?
It's broadened, and it's interesting that you say this, that you felt the ETH or the extraterrestrial hypothesis was the most likely answer for things that weren't explicable, because I felt the same. And then I would read Jacques Vallée and J. Allen Hynek and others who felt that there were probably other answers out there. And I was a bit confused by that at first, even though I greatly respected their work. And I think, like a lot of people, it even caused a little frustration. But over the years, I've completely understand now, and I can see why so many researchers, when they've been in this, I think the longer they're in it, I think a lot of people start to broaden the possible answers that could be out there, like Vallée and Hynek did, because both of them said that, you know, the extraterrestrials might not be the answer, or, you know, I luckily got to interview Vallée a couple years ago, and I asked him pointedly, because he tries to avoid it, and he even, you know, said he tries to emphasize that there are possible other answers and most likely other answers, although he says he does think a portion of it could be, if not probably is extraterrestrial. But I feel similarly, where I think that there, what I find, and I think that scientists or researchers have to be careful, is, you know, kind of, it's the ancient alien syndrome, now that we have this meme. If I don't understand what it is, it's got to be aliens. However, when you research, often, so many times, you figure, okay, it's not A or B, and it has to be C, and you find out the answer is F or G or X, something you never would have imagined could have been the answer. So that has really taught me to be really careful. Okay, if it's not A or B, maybe it's C, but there's also the possibility that something I would have never imagined it would have been. And we have to be open to following the data to find those answers and be open, because so many times, you know, the answer turns out to be something we never would have imagined.
Well said. Our guest today is Alejandro Rojas. He is the managing editor over at openminds.tv and as well as a radio host for Open Minds Radio. And we'll be back with him right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. Well, it is time for a summer celebration. We've got a lot going on in America here. It is July 4th weekend coming up. Hooray for the USA and happy birthday to the land that I love. And I have some important money-saving offers for you if you are a fan of the paranormal, a fan of the shows that we do, and some good information. First of all, I want to tell you the prices for my Plus Club have remained the same for about the last 3.5 years, almost 3.5 years now. And certainly anybody who has signed up to the Plus Club to date is going to enjoy the same pricing as long as they are a member, they're grandfathered in. But we are taking a look at maybe a little later in the year, maybe August, maybe September, looking at those rate structures for new members. So in other words, if you've been a member, you're a member in good standing, you're paying every month or every year, your price is not going to change. However, if you join after the time that we do the price adjustment, it would be a higher rate. So we want to give everybody fair warning for that and combine it and make it a happy thing with a Plus Club sale. So for the month of July, we're going to do this. This is a great deal, I think. If you sign up for a yearly membership, you get $15 off your yearly membership, and that repeats every year, as long as you're a member in good standing. If you decide, well, I'm not ready for the yearly commitment, but I'd like to give the monthly a try, we'll give you $1 off the current prices. So it's kind of a double whammy. A, you get a money-saving coupon, and B, you're going to beat the price increase coming up in the fall, probably, or late summer. I haven't decided on the date yet, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do that because costs go up. I know my costs have gone up over the last years, and my vendors are charging me more for things. So unfortunately, you know, after 3.5 years, we have to look at adjusting things. But again, if you are a current member, don't worry. As long as your account is in good standing, you will remain locked in with the pricing plan that you're on now. So don't worry if you're a member, because I know people hear this and it's like, oh, my price is going to go up. I've been a member for 2 or 3 years or for a month or 5 months. Don't you worry. Your pricing stays the same. It would just be for new people once that goes in effect. Haven't put a date on it yet, but pretty sure that it's going to happen here in a couple of months. So the moral of that story is jump in while you can, and take advantage of this summer sale. There are two coupon codes that you need to know. If you want to save money on the summer deal, just type in summer 15, a coupon code. You have to make sure to add that to your cart so it takes effect. And then the $1 coupon code for monthly users is summer 1. And this will be repeated on the sign-up page or on the page leading up to it, so you have fair warning on that. So, beat the price increase, the price adjustment. Use those money-saving coupon codes. We think it's a great deal. And there's another sale coming up. Now, this, as I release this on July 1st, this is not out yet, but I believe it'll be live at Amazon on the 3rd of July, lasting about a week. Is a sale on my book, Jim Harold's Campfire 2, 70 Spooky Stories. Now, if you want the Kindle book, there will be a 99-cent sale. You'll be able to get that for 99 cents. And if you haven't picked up the book yet, it really is a great way that you could show your support for the shows. And 99 cents, you can't beat it with a stick. Kind of doing this in preparation for the upcoming book. The next book will be out in September, early September, and wrapping that up now, and wanted to do something special for our nation's birthday and for the summer. So 99-cent sale, and the easiest way to get to that is to go to jimheroldbooks.com. It's jimheroldbooks.com. I believe it will also be on sale not only in the U.S. store, but also in the U.K. store. I believe for, I'm not exactly sure. I think it's 99 pence. I have to double check on that, but it will be on sale in the UK store as well during the same time frame. So our friends in the UK can take advantage of that. And as well, our American friends for Amazon.com. other countries, your mileage may vary. Just want to let you know, just check your local store and see, because it does vary by country by country. So, Plus Club sale, get the summer sale for this year and beat the price increase that's coming up in a couple of months. And then secondly, if you haven't gotten Campfire, 99 cents for the Kindle. You don't even need a Kindle book to a Kindle e-reader to read it. You can read with all the great apps they have over at Amazon.com for your tablet and your devices. So please check both of them out. Summer sales, summer celebration. Happy birthday, America. Thank you for all of your support. And now back to the Paranormal Podcast. We're back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest is Alejandro Rojas. He is the managing editor over at OpenMinds.tv, as well as the host of Open Minds Radio and one of the foremost UFO researchers on the scene today. Alejandro, what are some cases that are exciting you these days?
Yeah, these days it's funny because maybe social media has made me this way, but also kind of the news cycle. The news cycle's become so short. You know, with the newspaper, it used to be every 24 hours with your news on television. It's kind of similar. But these days with Twitter and social media, the news cycle's like hourly, if not minute by minute. So I'm always so focused on what's happening right now, here today. And it's funny because I'll forget about what happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 4 days ago. So right now, what's on my mind is I have spent years, I guess one of the big things is I've spent years looking into this retired special agent for the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, Richard Doty. And I've looked into this case because he says that he was sending out disinformation in the 80s to ufologists. And a lot of this disinformation he sent out was the origins of mythology such as the Dulce, MJ-12, Project Aquarius, all of these different mythologies that are very much in the core story of the mythology when it comes to UFOs. So I've spent a lot of years on that, and finally I've put together some information and packaged it in a couple of ways and put it out on the internet for people to digest. And I've had a couple interviews with some people on our podcast regarding all of this. So that's certainly on my mind a bit, although I'm certainly moving on to the next thing. But also, you know, there's always some interesting UFO sightings out there. One of the more interesting one we've ran across is a Puerto Rico video that supposedly was taken from an aircraft of Homeland Security and shown to a researcher in Puerto Rico, and they weren't supposed to get this out, so this person's anonymous so far. But a really interesting, one of the more interesting videos I've seen of this orbish thing kind of cruising along the ground, and it cruises out into the ocean. Even looks like it goes underwater for a bit of time and then comes out of the water before they lose sight of it. And it's all caught on camera with a FLIR. And you can tell, you know, from all the telemetry that's on the screen that it is military. So it's really interesting, and keeping an eye on it. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have more information about this out soon. But yeah, that's a really interesting video.
Now, I want to get back a little bit to the Doty case and government misinformation.
Right.
It would seem to me that if you're a government trying to hide things like secret aircraft, secret weapons projects, and things like that, particularly weapons that are in the sky, that one of the best pieces of concealment you could have is if there's this thought in the population that it's aliens. Mm-hmm. So while I'm very pointedly not saying that all UFO inexplicable sightings or government projects, I think it's certainly reasonable to think that some of them are, particularly when you think about things like the U-2 spy plane, the SAR-71 Blackbird, the stealth weapons, when these weapons weren't known about and things were seen in the sky flying at heights supposedly impossible by conventional aircraft, and pilots would see them and report them. Well, of course, they would say, well, there's no plane that could fly that high because they weren't aware of it. So it seems to me that the UFO movement in many ways could be the friend of governmental agencies, military and otherwise, trying to cover up government aerial projects.
That's true. I mean, I think that is a possibility. And one of the interesting things is when you talk about, you know, military and whatever they may have, their secret projects, those projects that you mentioned, such as, you know, SR-71 stealth, those are decades old. Even the stealth, 30 years old, at, you know, when that was developed. And that's like the latest thing we know of. So we don't know what they've done in the last couple of decades. It could be extraordinary. And of course, a lot of people know the story of Ben Rich saying that, you know, we've moved beyond these things light years. We can take ET home. So who knows what's out there? And because we don't know what technologies they have, some of these things certainly could be secret projects. And then, like Doty says, or like you're talking about, then it would be helpful for them to make us believe that they're extraterrestrial so we don't believe that they are secret spacecraft. I think what's also interesting, and I've never even heard this brought up, but it could be something going on in the background, is that you have these guys working on black projects. Things are so compartmentalized, you know. You have these guys working on black projects, and they're pushing forward this idea. Great, you know, we want people to think they're UFOs and aliens. Then you may have an organization or maybe a department in Air Force that is, you know, aware and researching UFOs and possibly extraterrestrial craft out there. And they most likely would be pretty frustrated with, you know, these people trying getting out more UFO information when, you know, there's this balancing act between that sort of information. So these guys could be working, you know, not together, but kind of frustrating each other. And which side was this Doty affair on, if any? Was this Doty affair just him making up this hoax stuff all by himself? It's so hard to know. But, you know, I interviewed a guy named Chris Lambright. And,
oh, yes. He's been on the show, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. And he told me he believes that what Doty was covering up was actual UFO activity that was being seen. He says they were covering up secret projects. And he's got a good point in that. Why would they be testing, you know, these secret projects at Kirtland Air Force Base, over Kirtland Air Force Base, when that's in the middle of Albuquerque? You know, a lot of people could see that.
Right.
And why would they not tell their security personnel that they were doing that? So that doesn't seem to be the right place for it. So just like a lot of this field, it's really enigmatic. The reason I like this case is that it's documented and you have a lot of witnesses to that period of time. We know Doty admits to doing all of this. So I think we've got really a lot of evidence here that something was going on and that this Air Force man, if not others, were involved with it. And so I think that we have something to really push the Air Force on. And what I found in the documents that I got from FOIA is that two New Mexican senators at the time came to the base or inquired of the base, what's going on with this Benowitz thing? Are you, you know, what's going on with this UFO investigation? Benowitz was the guy who caught these videos and stuff. And they were both told there is no investigation. And on the surface, it looks like there was no investigation. Doty, who told these senators that, and this is according to their own paperwork, also says that's not true. So according to Doty, he lied to these senators on behalf of the Air Force. So that's a big deal, you know, giving disinformation. Doty saying he broke into Benowitz's house. Those are a big deal, that the Air Force is breaking into a civilian's home. They're lying to senators. That's not, you know, something that can just be glossed over. So I think that we kind of have here, when I look abroad on all the information out there, some low-hanging fruit where we can kind of pin the Air Force down. But it's going to take a big effort. I think they're not paying me much regard at this point. So I need help, and I'm seeking help, and I'm hoping someone more influential will be interested and make some inquiries, or maybe just enough of us out here will make some inquiries that will force them into giving us some sort of information. I think it's a big deal.
So when we see things like the supposed Majestic 12 documents, which in and of themselves look fascinating, this looks like the smoking gun, you know, in official looking, you know, the old time typewriter type with top secret at the top. When we see those have essentially been proven to be hoaxes.
For the most part, they have. Doty does say, you know, that the first document, the Aquarius teletype, was a hoax. That's the first document to mention MJ-12, and a lot of people brush that under the table. When it comes to the Majestic 12 documents, a lot of people believe that this Jamie Shandera, who actually was working with Bill Moore, who was working with Doty, was the first one to receive these letters and these papers, and interesting enough, it was from a package from Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is where Doty was stationed at Kirtland Air Force Base. But of course, there's a lot of debate. When they first came out, what a lot of people don't know is that initially most researchers thought they were BS, that they were not real, especially because they were linked to Doty. Timothy Good, who was actually the first to get them and actually go public with them, doesn't believe that they're real. He thinks that they're disinformation. Maybe some of the facts are real, but that the documents themselves are not real. Tim Cooper, who received most of the documents, he's said online he doesn't believe that they're real, that someone's trying to trick him. Then Stanton Friedman at first thought they were not real. He believes most of them are not real, but he believes that a couple of that Jamie Shandera got might be real because of his investigations. And he wrote a book, Top Secret Majestic, that explains why he feels that way. But and then, of course, there's the Woods. And I respect all of these people, Stanton Friedman, the Woods, They're wonderful, great researchers, and but they believe that they're real from looking at them and being able to say there are similarities in the way documents were written and things like this. But then again, someone who's hoaxing them, who has access or is very familiar with government or Air Force documents, would be able to trick you and use all those similar things. So it's very difficult. I myself do believe that they are all hoax. I don't believe MJ-12 existed, although, like Timothy Good, believes maybe an organization like that existed. I don't know about that. It's so difficult. We have so little information besides anecdotal information. And unfortunately, over the years, and actually I just got a degree in psychology where I studied a lot of this, anecdotal information is just not something you can, you know, build a case on all by itself. You need more than that. So, and so many times anecdotal information comes out to be inaccurate. So it's very difficult to know for sure what's going on. But all we can do is keep trying to grab the data and put it together and try to get a picture of what's going on.
I'd be interested in your take on this. You know, I'd worked in traditional media for a number of years, and it's never, it's always a frustration of mine, the way that television in general treats UFO sightings. You know, you give me any local station in the United States and there's a UFO sighting, and I could almost write the video package myself. You know, you cue the kind of smarmy anchor with the raised eyebrow. Well, out in Broward County, people are seeing weird things in the sky. Jane, what did they see over there? And then at the end, they toss back and they have, you know, of course, somewhere in that package will have to be the X-Files music. Mm-hmm. And then they'll toss back. So, Bill, that's what they're saying out here in Broward County. And then you'll have usually typically a male and a female anchor, and they'll have a little happy talk and kind of usually be towards the end of the broadcast. It'll be a kicker, and they'll smirk a little and laugh a little. Maybe even the weather guy or the sports guy will get in with a little joke about it, and then that'll be it, and just everybody has a nice funny. And I think that's universal. Now, some people would say, that's part of a government project of disinformation. I would say it's laziness on the part of media in the sense that there are conventions. There are certain ways that you cover fires. There are certain ways that you cover murders. There's certain ways that you cover, unfortunately, missing children cases. And they have their little template, and it's just like piecework. And here's the draw by number when we have a UFO story, and we put in the X-Files music, and we make a little fun of it. We do these funny tosses and have our happy talk. And that's the formula to get that piece on so we can, you know, get to the next commercial set. That's my opinion. But what's your opinion of the way that television covers the UFO phenomena, either locally or nationally?
I agree with you. However, I think that it has gotten better. It's funny because I used to do tons of interviews, you know, being the spokesperson for MUFON. Well, I still do a lot of them. But yeah, like you said, everybody plays the X-Files. And I remember one time a radio station was like, "Aren't you surprised that we didn't play the X-Files music?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am. Did you recognize the music that we played?" And I said, "I kind of did, but I can't remember what it's from." And they're like, "Oh, it was from My Favorite Martian." So they were all excited that they were so creative. And I was like, well, it probably would have been a little more creative if you took it serious and you didn't use any kind of silly music. But I think it's changed because, like you said, you outline the template perfectly, and that's usually what they do. But and you certainly see that today. But I think you see it less and less today because more people are willing to take it more serious. Partially, I don't think it's not necessarily that the reporter has an interest, although a lot of them do. But even a lot of the reporters who have an interest will still use the template because that's what they're supposed to, you know, right. That's kind of the template. And like you said, it's more about this is how we do it. Nobody's told them to do it that way. I mean, I've worked so closely with these reporters and putting that stuff together that I know exactly. And they'll tell me, well, here's what I'm probably going to do. And they'll let you have some input, but it'll usually come out the way that they said they wanted to do it. But they think they're being creative and they think they're just doing something, putting the story together. But more and more, the reporters are being more bold and taking this serious, which I think is kind of cool. Personally, seeing, you know, watching these things, and we are hypersensitive to looking for all of the reports and watching them and reporting on them, that I think they are getting better. One of the coolest ones I've seen that helped with the turnaround was coverage by I can't remember. They're not Good Morning America, but it's like the one with Matt Lauer and Al
Today
Roper.
Show. The Today
yeah,
Show.
Yeah, the Today Show. And this was when they covered the Stephenville lights, and they were going into the story. And before they did, Anne Rice says, you know, these guys saw UFOs, and do you guys believe in UFOs? And Al Roker said, yeah. And she laughs. And Al Roker says, why are you laughing? And she says, because you said you believe in UFOs and you don't. And he says, yes, I do. I do too. And, Matt Lauer says, I do too. And she's like, really? You think UFOs are flying around checking us out? And Matt Lauer says, well, if we were going to check out another planet, that's what we would do. So why wouldn't they be doing that to us? And they were straight serious, you know, when they were talking about this. So that was really cool. So then Anne Rice goes into the story. But you see a lot of this. There's a guy on Fox News. It was America's Newsroom. And he co-hosted with the blonde lady, I can't remember her name, who is now a big anchor on Fox News, Megyn
Kelly.
Yeah. So he did a couple of UFO stories, a couple of interviews with Nick Pope, and he's really into this stuff. Megyn Kelly asked him once, do you believe in UFOs? And he paused for a second and he smiled because he was reticent to admit this because there is that, you know, credibility factor. And he said, yes, I do. Very sober, you know, took a deep breath and decided to come out of the closet on UFOs. And she says, well, you're not alone. And she goes into a poll. And this was a recent poll that had been done that showed, you know, nearly 50% of the Americans said they believed in them. So I think it is getting better, thankfully. And hopefully it will continue to get better as, you know, people get better information out there.
And it's interesting you mentioned Fox. I co-hosted for 2 years the Paranormal Report with Clayton Morris, who is an anchor for the weekend Fox and Friends report, and he's one of the mainstream media guys who is really interested in this stuff and believes there's something to paranormal phenomena, including UFOs. He's deeply into it. So I know that there are people out there. I think sometimes, frankly, they're probably a little afraid to let that out because they're afraid how it might be perceived, and hopefully that will change. Now,
exactly.
I'd be interested to see, and I ask people this all the time, the paranormal, particularly people who have been at it for a while. And you know, you look at this and you think people have been, and UFOs probably more, you know, since post-World War II, but with paranormal phenomena, people have been asking these questions for ages. And obviously UFO, if you study it, UFO sightings go back way before Kenneth Arnold. But do you ever think we'll get an answer or get closer to an answer in our lifetime?
That's a good question, and I don't know. I think I used to think things seemed to be ramping up so much that we would have an answer soon. But when I talk to just about every researcher, they say that. When I talk to the researchers who have been in this for decades, they say, we were sure that Carter was going to release information on UFOs. You know, we were sure Reagan was, and so forth. We thought it was right around the corner, but it wasn't. And then the older the researcher and the longer they've been in it, the more they're convinced is that they'll never know during their lifetime. So it's hard to say, you know, the way the world is and the way things change, it could happen that there, you know, something dramatic happens tomorrow, or it could happen months from now. I think that researching the paranormal, especially, you know, using that very broad generic term, because I think there's a lot of similarities, is one thing that is consistent is the enigma of the whole thing, of that it is so hard to pin anything down, exactly what the nature of this or that is. And that could be purposeful. You know, you even look at Native American legends of the trickster, or these other legends of these creatures that are so enigmatic. And so, at least in the past, people used to have more of a respect and to think they're just smarter than us. You know, they're more advanced, and we are following their lead. Whereas in today's world, when we're so scientific, we think that we have control over nature and so that we can understand anything. I love the Skinwalker Ranch investigation, the weird ranch in Utah, and the book that came out, Hunt for the Skinwalker, because these were scientists and they very quickly came to the conclusion, even though they're all PhDs, often PhDs have egos, that whatever this is real, and it's much smarter than we are. It was 10 steps ahead of us every time we tried to look into something, and so we couldn't figure it out. And I think that's the deal, that we can look, we can grab data, we can follow what they're doing, and we can report on the paranormal. But the paranormal is not going to we're not going to stumble upon or outsmart it. It's going to reveal itself when it wants to. We're on their timetable. It's not our timetable. So that's how I feel about it, in that if there are extraterrestrials visiting us, they'll let us know when they want to let us know, but that nothing prior. So it's hard to say. I think there's the only consistent thing in this whole field is that it's very enigmatic, and that's why it's really dangerous in this field to look at it in a black and white manner or to be certain about anything, because things change so quickly, you know, it's just enigmatic for enigmatic sake.
Well, I must say it is absolutely a fascinating topic. You're certainly one of the foremost researchers on it. And I think that, to me, you know, if you crack one of these paranormal categories, maybe answers follow to others, or the other answers come more easily. I don't know if we know more about the nature of existence. Alejandro, where can people find what it is that you're doing? And tell them a little bit about the different aspects and what you're most excited about now promoting.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Of course, you can go to openminds.tv to find everything that we do. We are a news page that we post stories every day, several stories. We follow UFO stories all around the world, and we're posting them as we get them. We also have a partnership with MUFON now, where their director of communications, Roger Marsh, is writing stories about MUFON sightings on our page on a daily basis, sometimes a couple a day. And that includes cases that are solved, or at least really the best cases when it comes to MUFON are unsolved because the case is unknown. You don't know what it is. So he's reporting on those. So we're really excited about that. Also, we have a podcast that goes out weekly where we cover UFO news and guests. We have a YouTube web series with my colleagues Jason McClellan and Maureen Ellsbury, both of whom are on television shows, are on popular UFO shows right now. Maureen's on Aliens Uncovered or Uncovered Aliens. I always get it backwards. And Jason is on Hangar One, so you can see them on TV right now. But we also have a subscription site that's going to be coming out where you can watch all of the past lectures at another cool thing we do, which is the largest UFO conference in the world, which is an international UFO Congress, and we hold that here in the Phoenix area. In fact, we just began taking registrations. It's a five-day conference, and it's full of speakers every day, and we have a couple meals. And, you know, over 20 speakers. We have a UFO film festival. And right now, the early bird special that goes until September is $200 for everything, a couple meals and all the speakers for 5 days. So it's a big deal. It's a lot of fun. You get to hang out. You know, over 5 days gives you plenty of time to hang out with the speakers and your favorite researchers and everything. And a lot of the top UFO researchers come, even if they're not speaking, to hang out or to sell their books or otherwise. And that's a big deal. We did do a print magazine, but we stopped printing that just recently because print is so expensive and we just were losing money for the 4 years that we did that. Sure. And it was a beautiful magazine. You can still buy print copies online, but we're not printing that anymore. But we're putting up more stories on the website in lieu of that. So that's what we're up to. And I'm really excited about the summer, especially next month, because in a few weeks, I'm going to be at Roswell. I'll be doing a couple talks there for their festival over the July 4th weekend. Then we're going to be at MUFON because we did to kind of just to support everybody and to interview some researchers and everything. And then I will be speaking at Contact in the Desert in August. And all of this you can find on our events page at openminds.tv. So we have a lot going on all the time. And we just get so much information out there. We tweet on every few minutes. One of us is tweeting something about UFO news and stuff that's interesting to the we have social media on Facebook. So we keep extremely busy, just minute by minute, updating people on the latest and greatest when it comes to UFOs.
Very good. Well, thank you, Alejandro. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you for being a part of Paranormal Podcast today. Continued success and best of luck in all of your research.
Thank you. Thank you for what you do. You have a wonderful podcast, and I'm really happy that I got a chance to talk with you on it.
I'm glad that you had time to spend with us. Thanks, Alejandro. We'll talk to you soon. And thank you for joining us today on the Paranormal Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed the program. We'll be back next week with more. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great week. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.